Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Modern Marvels. This is episode 11. My name is Marshall, and I'm your host. Today, joining me on the podcast, Brian Nauman joins us again this week. Say hello, Brian.
Hold me.
And also joining us on the podcast tonight, Matt Hicks. Say hello, Matt.
Hello, everyone.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and start off with last week's listener question. Actually, not much to talk about, really. Last week's listener question, for those of you who didn't join us in last week's podcast, what decks would you recommend for new players getting into Modern and why? We didn't really get any feedback, and that's okay, but again, I wanted to point out that there was some awesome resources on MTG Salvation, namely the What Deck Should I Play thread, and again, that's stickied on the Modern subforum on MTG Salvation, and also, of course, the Modern Format Primer written by Lantern, one of the users on
MTG Salvation. The question. I wasn't here last week. I can answer the question. What was the question?
Last week's listener question was, what decks would you recommend for new players getting into Modern and why?
Burn, because it's cheap. How much are Goblin Guides now?
$30.
$30.
Like 12.
Unless you gotta get all the new wooded foothills and the.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Red Fetchlands.
Yeah.
What's the now mono green devotion? Because it's cheap.
But anyway, so we did have, and I will say, actually, the feedback that we did get on our podcast, someone had pointed out, because we talked about standard playable cards, and one of the cards that we had mentioned was Pack Rat that was playable in Modern. And one of the guys, he had actually mentioned that Pack Rat was seeing play in Dead Guy Ale, which is kind of an up-and-coming deck. So I just wanted to point that out as well, that, you know, Pack Rat, you know, we didn't just throw that in there. It is actually a card that could see some Modern play. As much as I hate to say it, because I feel like it's kind of slow and clunky, but it's pretty good.
It wins games, especially with Mutavaults. Like,
yeah.
I mean, the place that I think it shines is the fact that if you play a deck that focuses on getting you and your opponent into a top decking war, and you have a 100% chance to top deck a pack rat, and they have a 50% chance, or optimistically like 70% chance to top deck anything relevant, it gets pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, Frankel of War did a Dead Guy Hill Modern video series maybe a week ago on TCG Player. You can watch him play about 4 matches with that deck.
Yeah.
And Pack Rat won a lot of games. It's a real card.
And I do believe Jerry Thompson from Star City Games, it was either Jerry T or somebody else from Star City Games, had also kind of did a little bit of exposure on the deck, I guess, Dead Guy Ale and Modern. Anyway, that's, again, just kind of wanted to point that out from last week's episode, so. For those of you who enjoyed playing the turn 1 Thoughtseize, turn 2 Pack Rat in Standard, that is something you can do in Modern. So.
Who doesn't love a good old turn 1 Thoughtseize, turn 2 Thoughtseize?
Or just do that, right? So yeah. Alright, moving on. So Christmas came early this year. Brian, did you hear about this?
September.
Did you hear about this, Brian?
Did I hear that Christmas came exactly when I said it was going to come?
Oh, really? Did it come exactly when you said it was going to come? I bet you didn't have it marked on your calendar. But
I did.
I was surprised. Yeah.
So anyway, the majority of this podcast, we're going to talk about the big news, and that is that Fetchlands are back. They're back. So
where'd they go? I thought they already had them.
You know what? I don't want to hear it, Matt.
They went into the aether.
Matt's like
bank accounts, like Swiss bank accounts, because those were the only people that could.
Matt's like, oh well, I just got to dig out my pile of fetch lands or take them out of the case to throw them in my standard deck. Now, it's Matt's whole thought about this, since he already has. I'm sure you have plenty, but anyway. So yeah, big news is the fetch lands are back, and that is to say the allied fetch lands. So, you know, for a long time, we had been kind of, you know, up in the air on what exactly, in fact, our listener question a couple weeks ago was, what do we think Wizards is going to do with the reprinting of Fetchlands. And it turns out, shortly hereafter, they've actually answered our question. That is, they're going to reprint them in Khans of Tarkir. And that is, well, just the Allied Fetchland. So, of course, there's 10 of the Fetchland. The Allied Fetchland were originally printed in the Onslaught block. Are now going to be reprinted in Khans of Tarkir. So we have, for those of you who don't know, and if you don't know, you've been living under a rock, but there's Flooded Strand, which is the blue-white fetch land, Bloodstained Mire, which is black-red, Windswept Heath, green-white, Pluta Delta, blue-black, and Wooded Foothills, red and green.
I knew you could do it.
Thank you.
And if you didn't know, any of those that had blue in them were over peaking over $100 recently.
Yes.
Until now.
What was Pluto Delta at before the announcement?
I think it was right around 100.
It was 110, I believe.
Yeah.
For non-foil.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they also, as outside printing them in Onslaught, they were judge promos as well. Not that that actually makes any difference in
that
the price.
That did not deflate the price that much. No.
Fetchlands are back. So we're going to talk about mainly what is their effect on Modern going to be. You know what, Matt? What do you think their effect on Modern is going to be?
Well, my opinion is it's not going to change too much.
All right, just stop right there. Thanks, Matt. All right, moving on.
Well, let me give my reason.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, let's say you have...
I'm excited. It's not going to change the end.
Yeah, well, it doesn't suddenly make any color combination more viable. It just makes that corner case where you have to... Let's say you're a Grixis deck, and before you didn't have your black-blue fetch land or your black-red fetch land, you just had Scalding Tarn. So you couldn't find a basic swamp when you needed it unless you had, you know, maybe you played two Burden Catacombs just to find a swamp at some point. So now you can play Pluto Delta to find your basic swamp now instead of your Scalding Tarn.
I want to pause just a second in this hypothetical.
Yeah.
Where on earth are we caring about a red-black fetch land in a Grixis deck?
Just saying.
It doesn't have blue in it.
I can't cast Cryptic Command with this.
But it doesn't change how you would build your deck. It doesn't add any new cards to that deck other than changing some of your land, some of your fetch lands alone.
It makes some of the fetches more consistent.
You don't have to play Misty Rainforest anymore. You can play Pluto Delta.
Now, and, you know, I do agree with that to some extent. You know, you really don't, like, change a ton because the way the format stands as of now, you already had access to the fetches to at least put your mana base together. But, as a person who has played, you know, the different blue and black and blue white and different control decks in blue, there is actually a huge difference in having to play something like the Misty Rainforest in like a Grixis color deck. It just doesn't like there. You think it's a corner case, but it's not a corner case. There's a lot of times in like
Islands, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of times you need to get like a, or even just like a basic swamp. Whereas before, you know, you can't do that with a Misty Rainforest or a Scalding Tarn, even, and you're playing like a blue-black deck. Now, you need to have access to blue, of course, but you can't play like things like Marsh Flats and stuff like that for your mana fixing, because you're going to run into issues where you need to fetch islands, and again, I think for the control decks, this is actually going to be the biggest deal, because it gives them a lot of different, and, you know, Matt, I think you really underestimate, and this is just my opinion, I think there's a lot more to just those corner cases. This actually happens quite commonly that you run into problems where I need to fetch a basic island and I'm playing, you know, four Marsh Flats in my deck and it doesn't work out.
Yeah, I understand. It makes just the deck run a lot smoother. I mean, I play Legacy, I understand. we have all 10 at your disposal. It just makes the decision making of how you lay your turns a lot easier.
And the bottom line, I think, of everything is when you're building your deck, you just get to, whereas previously, if you were building your deck and it was three colors base, say blue, you might have to throw in a couple awkward fetch lands and only fetch shocks with them, blue base shock. Whereas now, it'll be easier because you'll be able to have both halves every time.
Right. And you have the opportunity to choose not to get a fetch land to save you on life, which is becoming even more relevant nowadays since burn is on the rise again. And not just because standard players are getting into modern, but because Eidolon of the Great Reveler is a card now. So
that is a card. And you know what else is a card? Batterskull.
That's good news for control players as well. But so, and of course, here's the, you know, the other advantage to having the allied fetches it gives. So here's a big thing that I've noticed in games, both playing with and against control. And just to give you an example, just this past week, I was playing, you know, my junk deck against a blue-white control deck. And I believe we were either in game two or three. I had sided in Fulminator Mages and a couple other things that I would normally bring in against control. I won the game. I had six lands in play, and he had two. Just because I had tech hedged him twice and Fulminator Maged him at least once. And you're playing a blue-white deck. Like, I feel like decks like blue-white control need to be able to play around the non-basic hate, like they do in Legacy.
True. Well, that's true. That just means he fetched poorly. Like, did he have no blue fetches, or did he just
fetch? He had Misty Rainforest, and you got to get your mana fixing, and it's like...
I see what Marshall's saying. In a two-color deck, you should be able to fetch for both of your basics reliably.
Right. Not just your island or, you know, some other color. You had to, you know, like I said, the strength of, like, you know, blue-white countertop and Legacy, for example, is that it can just relentlessly play around Wasteland and get to, you know, casting its, you know, Entreat the Angels or whatever reliably. And in Modern, like I said, you can't even just play around, like a Stone Rain. Like, it's just bad. In my opinion, you know, previously blue white decks have been playing things like Seachrome Coast, Nimbus Maze. I've seen before. Luckily, I don't see that one too often. But it's like,
I mean, are you saying because they're gonna have Flood of Strand, they're not gonna play Seachrome Coast? They're gonna play.
Yes, I mean, and not only as a control deck, you shouldn't be playing a land that comes into play tap on turn four when you're trying to curve out.
So, but that's a different weird, point. Like, I do think that now that with Flood of Strand, I don't know. I think it will take the fast lands kind of out of it because it allows you to get your basics more reliably. Right. Like, I don't know. I feel like I would rather. I think it'd be consistent enough without the fetch or without the fast lands.
Yeah, and like I said, the fast lands is just one more land that A becomes a mountain if there's a Blood Moon in play, or B, gets blown up by a Tech Edge or any other form of non-basic land hate. So,
Flood of Strain becomes a mountain as well.
Flood of Strain does become a mountain as well.
Well, you're not going to leave it in play.
No, if you draw it later, it's true. Just going to be a mountain.
But, well, I mean, you don't draw Flooded Strand when Blood Moon's in play.
You never do, right?
Yeah.
You just draw a mountain.
But in Seachrome Coast is even worse because it would probably just come into play tapped. And it's a mountain that comes into play tapped. So
he's got a point.
Either way, of course, obviously the, you know, one of the benefits to having more fetch lands is it, you know, gives decks the ability to play around the non-basic land hate, which is basically my point with all that is, you know, decks like, especially the blue-white and blue-black now have a little bit more flexibility in terms of designing a mana base that doesn't just fold to a Blood Moon. Because before,
like how we were spending time talking about the fetch lands, and really what we meant by that, at least what I feel like I mean by that, is talking about Polluted Delta and Flooded Strand.
Well, because Basic Island is really one of the only ones that matter.
If well, for I the mean, most part.
Modern, I think blue is pretty weak.
Yeah.
But, I mean, besides
that. And that does kind of bring me to my next point is, the next big question is, what decks really benefit from the printing of Allied Fetch? So, to contrast that, what would be a deck that doesn't necessarily benefit with the Allied Fetch, which is kind of tough to say.
Probably the Winsworth Teeth decks.
Yeah, and that's really what I was going to get to. Birthing Pod, maybe a little bit, but I think mainly decks like aggro decks like Zoo. Gruul aggro didn't really care that much if they could play around Blood Moon.
I don't know. I think Naya Exu would rather have the Allied Fetches than...
Well, I mean, I think Naya Exu wants to run a lot of... Well, just Naya. Never mind. Not Domain. I'm big on Domain Zoo because I think it's cute.
Brian automatically thinks Zoo, and then he's like, Snapcaster Mage and Geist of Saint Traft and Tribal Flames.
I don't want Geist. I just want Tribal Flames and Snapcaster Mage.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you that I am so excited to take Arid Mesa out of my America deck. That would be so awesome.
I mean, you'll probably still play.
Why would I ever fetch a basic Mesa, mountain? But... That's what Blood Moon gives me like 8 of every game.
I mean, the blue-white-red decks in Legacy are playing Arid Mesa. Arid Mesa's good.
Yeah. Arid Mesa another is fetch not as good as Floodplain.
Flooded Plain. Flooded Strain.
I mean,
get with the program. All right, so... obviously, you know, Zoo decks benefit some from that, you know, having access to fetch all their colors, but really they're still an aggro deck. So they're not really concerned as much with their own total as per se the control decks, which is kind of what I'm going to get to here. Is I think the biggest beneficiary to having the Allied Fetch added to the format is going to be our blue based control decks. So in the shard colors, of course, and even the dual color. So this is just my opinion: Bant, Grixis, Esper, and then. Blue, white, and blue, black.
I think we can safely say that the largest benefactors will be those who were not already happy with the fetches they already had.
Basically, yeah, when they play.
Can we be any more ambiguous?
When they play a Mist of Rainforest, that is basically just fetch a mountain, or fetch a
island. Yeah.
The blue part is completely irrelevant, or the green part is completely irrelevant.
But saying though, it's like then there's those times where you need to get like a swamp because you need to play around Blood Moon, or you need to cast a Thoughtseize, but you don't want to have it blown up to Tectonic Edge so you can cast your Cryptic Command on turn 4. And so that does make a difference. That's what I'm trying to say. So, like I said, I think the blue based control decks are really going to benefit from having all the Allied Fetch because those blue shards really kind of got the short end of the stick with the enemy colored fetch only being modern, in my opinion, because you're forced to shock yourself when you need to, you know, cast a mana leak, but you need to cast a, you know, Cryptic Command the next turn or something like that. So I think, like I said, I really think this is going to be a big game changer for the blue shards, and like I said, blue, black, and blue, white.
Well, with that said, does this mean that Trickbind or Shadow Doubt become the new Stifles? Like, are they going to become that powerful or that format defining?
That's a good point. I mean, another thing is it's like, so there's already a couple, like, two color decks out there, like Slippery Boggles, and they're going to start adding fetch, you know, just because it makes their deck a little bit more consistent. You know, obviously Boggles doesn't benefit too much from having Windswept Heath, but they are going to, you know, they're going to move over to it just because, you know, like I said, it makes the mana base a little bit more consistent. So I could see them definitely getting upped in play. That's a good point. The pseudo stifle effects could be on the rise with this, but.
Or even Mind Sensor, it might see a good mana in play.
I feel like even Mind Sensor already sees play in the decks that want it. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that just because we added another 5 fetch wins, like...
Yeah, but if what Marshall's saying and people are taking out their Seachrone Crypts and putting in Flooded Strands, this is going to be a more relevant
card. I don't think that we would take out Seachrome Coast for Flooded Strand necessarily. I think we'd take out Seachrome Coast for like basics or buddies, and then because our fetching is more consistent. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like instead of having to run three Misty Rainforests, we get four Flooded Strand. Then instead of having to run the Seachrome Coast, just because we need to be able to consistently get blue-white on those first three turns, Flooded Strand can consistently get that, so we can do something like have a buddy or have more basics.
Buddy, you mean Checkland, Glacial Fortress?
Yeah, Glacial, stuff like that.
Yeah, I can see that. Like,
fetch. I don't think we're going to go up to, like, 10 fetch lands.
No, that's a common mistake that
unless,
I think some people will make.
Unless we're playing Domain Zoo.
The Unbanned Death Rachel.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yes.
They knew what they were doing.
All right, Matt, you went there.
You win.
He's the, I
you win theory.
I mentioned this in a post. He's the saddest man on the planet.
I don't know. He's Jordan. He's sitting with those two hot chicks, Bloodbred Elf and Stoneforge Mystic.
They print a remand that shows him getting like remanded.
Yeah, it shows him getting wrecked.
That made me mad.
I want to point out that I don't believe that any Deathrite Shaman has ever been remanded ever.
Probably not, though.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's in that card. And so, then he's like, I have Evolving Wilds as standard, and then I rotate and you bring back the fetches. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, well, deal with it. Anyway, so back on track. So I guess we just have to reiterate here that, I mean, and even, like I said, something as simple as trivial as, like, blue-black control. So maybe just, like, the Tezzeret deck, because I think that's about the only, like, sort of, like, blue-black control deck that's actually going around. Maybe that Fairies deck are actually kind of being played a lot, too. Which is also in blue black, so I guess both of those decks are definitely going to want blue to delta. Will it make those decks more viable? Probably not a ton.
It will allow them to get blue or black mana without spending three life at the discount of a shock, basically.
Well, and here's the thing though: it's like Fairies is surprisingly. One of the few modern decks, but it does actually want to curve out at four to cast Mistbind Click. So I think it could actually help them out a lot because, you know, again, when you're trying to curve out at four and you're trying to play around like Tech Edge or Blood Moon, that could be problematic. So with the blue-black stuff, who knows for sure. But again, I think one of the biggest beneficiaries, like I said, definitely going to be blue-white. Blue-white, I mean, it isn't even seeing like a ton of play as it is right now, but I think, like I said, just being able to play around Blood Moon and Tech Edge and all the other more common non-basic land hate, I think is going to help out that deck a lot.
I really just don't think you're ready for Boros Landfall aggro that I'm going to beat you down with because my step lynxes are getting in deep.
Loam Lions,
2/3.
So, moving on.
You're going to try and anger the gods me, and I'm going to crack two fetches and look at you like, what are you going to do? My step lynxes are 4/5.
Still alive. But, moving on. Let's talk a little bit about budget here. So obviously, yeah. I think the fetch lands are going to have a pretty huge effect on the decks that are being played in modern. Matt disagrees with us, and I think you know there's no. I mean, we can't predict really.
Whoa! Who's us?
I mean, excuse me.
He's talking in the royal us.
The royal us. Am I being shoehorned into us?
No. I think Marshall.
No, but I mean, there is a lot
Matt
of people
disagrees
that
with us.
My point is, the listeners. It doesn't make a Grixis deck suddenly viable because it has access to two more fetch lands.
That's what she
and
says.
And let's like I said, I think you're wrong, but
okay.
We will see. Like I said, there's no way to really predict.
So
that
I guess we are just completely split because I think you're right, but I'm still gonna try.
Yeah. we want Matt to be wrong, but he could be right.
I believe he is right, but I'm going to slam cruel commands on people. Cruel ultimatum.
Do it. I will.
The mystic, you know I will.
Mystic tomato. Cruel ultimatum.
Cruel ultimatum. Anyway. Say cruel ultimatum, I say cruel tomato. Either way, you're discarding cards, buddy.
So, all right, we digress. So, like I said, moving on. I do kind of want to talk a bit about the reprinting of the Fetchlands from a budget and from like an accessibility standpoint to those who aren't already really into modern. Because there's actually a huge crowd out there just like, oh, well, I would play modern, but Misty Rainforest costs $80. So I think, you know, this changes things. It's not obviously the enemy color Fetchlands. As of now, as far as we know, aren't getting reprinted anytime soon. But, you know, this, you could easily do some stuff. You can acquire these a lot more easily once they get reprinted to get into modern. So what does this mean for...
What's that? If you didn't play Magic 12 years ago, you can actually have access to these cards?
Yeah.
I shouldn't say 12 years ago, because they were in rotation for a little while. So if you played in Onslaught, or like a year and a half after Onslaught came out, you could probably acquire them for some small amount of money.
Yeah, it wasn't much. They were like $5 to $10 probably.
Yeah, I mean, an expensive Magic card at that point in time was like $20. It's not like today.
And funny, I mean, I didn't play at the time, but I just remember hearing about people playing because back then because the Onslaught block was followed immediately by RTR or not RTR, excuse me, but the original Ravnica block.
No,
so there was.
It was. No, it wasn't. It was followed by Mirrodin.
Okay. Was there a time? Am I mistaken when there was a short time when the Onslaught fetches? I'm sorry. Yeah, is it extended?
Ravnica came out extended and included Onslaught.
Onslaught. For that one rotation.
And the people would just tell me like every deck was like four or five color good stuff that deck.
I can't wait to play.
Yeah, I would love to play four to five color good stuff.
I'm playing five color good stuff in modern, probably. And when I say good stuff, I just mean cruel ultimatum.
Cruel ultimatum.
It's like a 7-for-1 every time you cast it.
You're gonna cast a Huntmaster of the Fells into Phyrexian Obliterator into cruel ultimatum.
No, I'm gonna be like Lotus Cobra into Oracle of Moldiah into cruel ultimatum.
All right, but yeah, realistically, you know, this is good news for the standard players looking to get into modern. Because now, even if you like just want to play something as trivial as like black red vampires, you know, you now have access to some fetch lands to make that deck better.
You know? Yeah, I mean, you can buy your blood crypts right now for, you know, $8 to $10 piece, and then go. And then when
Cons comes out,
yeah, your hands Blessing on the... Mire, get your fetches, and you're good to go.
I think the most primary example of this is, like, for the standard player trying to get into Modern that can't afford Zendikar fetches because they're expensive, and although they've gone down with the announcement of these reprintings, they're still pretty expensive. You have the ability to just open your own fetches, which allows you to become part of that gateway. They can be where everyone was at, where, yeah, you're running an awkward fetch base, but an awkward fetch base is still like 20 times better than a no fetch base.
Playing eight islands and eight mountains.
Just welcome to the world that we've been at since Modern has been invented.
Right.
And then later on, eventually, you don't have to live the pipe dream of the perfect fetch base. Because honestly, with us playing Modern with an imperfect fetch base, it's not been terrible. Like, it's been totally serviceable.
Well, is it that, or we've just gotten used to it? And we're just going to be, our minds are going to be blown. See,
that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. I think we just kind of.
I feel you, Marshall. It's
just... Yeah.
I love it when you humor Marshall. Like, I was sitting here blown away. I was like, wait a second. Oh, wait, he's trolling Marshall.
I really wasn't. No, I understand what he said. And I agree at that point.
So, but yeah, like I said, this is, you know, Brian, you're absolutely right. It's like for example, if you want to play like blue red twin, yeah, you don't. They're not reprinting Scalding Tarn, which is obviously like the most important fetch land in that deck. But you look at most lists, they're running, you know, 4 Scalding Tarn, like a couple Misty Rainforest. So you can do the same thing with your, you know, fetch lands. You can, instead of playing 4 Scalding Tarn and some Misty Rainforest, you can play 3 Polluted Delta, 3 Flooded Strand or something like that just to get, you know, the islands or whatever. Of course, it's, you know, it's still not optimal, especially if you're trying to, like, play Blood Moon on the sideboard. Well, actually, I'm sorry, I take that back because I just remember that that's a 2-color deck, so it really doesn't matter.
This sounds suboptimal.
But I mean, you get the point, though. It's like you can, and that just goes to show you, it's like I said, you can totally play, like, Splinter Twin with Flooded Strands and Blue to Deltas. And not only is it, like, and this is another thing I forgot to mention earlier, and that is, like, faking different colors, which is, I don't think it's going to be a huge thing in Modern, but... That is totally like a thing
in
Legacy.
I think you need to slow down because you're trying to next level us a little too hard.
Okay. Well, for those of you who don't know, and like I said, this is more so a thing in Legacy, but a lot of the Delver decks in Legacy, for example, will intentionally play a couple of the off colored fetch. So for example, in Rug Delver, which is blue, red, green, they'll play like a Flooded Strand or like a Polluted Delta or something like that, just to fake that other color, because, you know, sometimes, like, you see that turn one Polluted Delta and you're like, oh, he's on Storm or he's on Reanimator or something like that.
Get him, he's reanimating.
I mean, I did that in Maverick. I played a few Verdant Catacombs just to fake black so they weren't sure.
Yeah, and I so mean,
to be fair, I think we can, it's a little difficult to apply this particular Legacy.
Right. I'm just saying that's like a...
I mean, on the other hand, if you're playing Scred Red in Modern, I would play one of every red fetch land just to
keep people off guard, yeah.
Yeah.
The jig is immediately up when you fetch a snow mountain.
Fetch a snow...
Oh, man. Aaron Mesa. Okay, so he could be Zoo. He could be America Control. Fetching a snow-covered mountain. Okay, he's jank.
No. You could be on Gifts, because Gifts plays the snow-covered lands. But yeah, I'm not banking on that being like a huge thing, but it is surprisingly relevant, especially in Games 1. Who knows if that'll, you know, be a huge deal in Modern, I don't know, but it is just something to keep in mind. So
I hope it is. I feel like I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna get you.
You can bash it all you want, but last time I played Rug Delver,
fetch my breeding pool for my Grixis deck.
But the last time I played Rug Delver at a Legacy event, the dude actually told me after game one, he thought I was on like show and tell for the first 3 turns of the game, which like throws people off. Exactly, they play differently, so.
Did you not like play a daze, or were you just like all Force of Wills that game?
It was probably me just playing cantrips. Because sometimes Rug Delver just does that. It's like, oh, end of turn, brainstorm. Okay. But anyway, again, kind of getting a little bit sidetracked here. That is something that, you know, we could start seeing in Modern. Again, I'm not banking on it, but anyway, moving on. Basically, you know, what we're getting after is. Obviously, this is going to bring a lot more people in the Modern format, regardless. Because now you don't have to look at the stupid, ludicrous price of, you know, your blue Zendikar fetches or whatever.
So now you're only priced out of green and black by Bob, Liliana, and Turnbush.
Right. Now you only had to worry about those. But hey, they're going to reprint those in the second set of Cons of Tarkir, I'm sure.
I mean, I've made the OP Surely Deliver joke before, yeah. But now OP has delivered.
Exactly. Kind of. Yeah, we never know. I think, yeah, like we, there obviously there's still tons of other staples that, you know, keep people out of most decks, but even still, you know, like things like Storm, like totally cheap deck, except then you had to get like 4 Scalding
Tarns. Scalding Tarns.
Yeah.
Empire Master's Engine, aren't they a price now?
A
couple bucks.
No, they're not. They're not really a thing. But, so, like I said, that's a pretty big deal, I think, to our standard players. So, anyway, that just about wraps up our, I mean, we got to gush about the fetch lands. As soon as I was spoiled, see, the, every single time at or this time of year, I'm always out of town for Labor Day weekend, and they just start like dropping these massive spoilers, like the last time, like Return to Ravnica, and they spoiled the Shocklands. And I'm out of town; I can't talk to anyone about it. So I just got really excited.
Yeah, because you know you don't have a cell phone or the internet or anything, so you're completely shut off from society.
But I am, and it's just like
you're not though. You just didn't want to hear me talk about it.
I just didn't want to talk to you about it because I think you're stupid. Anyway,
no, because you didn't want to hear me say that I was right about the pet coins.
I'm just excited.
No, I didn't see. I don't ever remember. So here's another thing. Brian adamantly claims that he predicted this. Like,
you know, Brian, if you did more podcasts, then you could go back and say, podcast number 7, I predicted this.
I'm pretty sure I did predict this.
We'll you know what? I will go back. I'll do the research, and we'll dig it up and see if it happened.
If you're on last week's podcast, you could have mentioned that.
Yeah, anyway.
That's all right. Marshall's going to prove me right.
But,
maybe.
One thing aside from at least a store owner perspective, there's going to be a lot more fetches that people are going to sell to me, which mm-hmm. I'm really happy about.
Well, not only that, but people are just, I mean, flat out, you're going to sell more packs.
Like, yeah, oh, yeah. Like this set already didn't need any hype.
Like, I'm not a huge fan of, like, going and just buying packs, because, you know, that's kind of like walking off the car dealer with a brand new car and immediately depreciates in value. But now I'm going to be like, I want foil fetch lands, please. So, cons of
but that being packs. Said, you almost did buy a pack of Zendikar for $13 from Matt last time we were there, just because it was a pack of Zendikar.
Yeah, that's besides the point, though. Brian, so,
I mean,
but either way,
I've had a lot of people asking me about pre-ordering boxes.
Yeah,
and such.
Like I said,
yeah, our local game store up here is selling cases, and they're thinking about having supply problems.
Yeah.
Like people are buying. Cases.
Cons of Tarkir is gonna fly off the shelves. Wizards is gonna make bank, and I hope Wizards has finally realized that when you print cards that people want, you're gonna sell more product. Period. So
this is the set where Wizards realizes things that Star City Games doesn't want them to realize.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. That's a very good point.
Maybe look at, you know, the reserve list. We'll go there.
Mm. Wait, Matt.
Stop too right soon. There.
Soon.
Not today. Another time.
I'm just saying, if they can screw collectors like this, then
but they,
I'm just saying
they didn't really screw collectors that hard. I mean, it's like, yeah, they dropped, I mean, yeah, the Onslaught fetches are probably, I mean, I could see them halving, but I mean, A, they weren't already on the reserve list.
I understand.
So you can't really.
But you know, obviously, they don't care about collectors if they'll go ahead and just reprint them.
But, you know, obviously, the people who are, you know, looking at this sort of thing, it isn't about the collectability, it's about the playability, you know? So
I understand that, but the reserve list is all about the collectability. It has nothing to do with playability.
So, anyway, again, that's a whole different topic that I really don't want to get into. Especially tonight. So we're going to go ahead and move on from our Fetchland discussion. Again, this is really exciting news for, even if, you know, you don't think it's going to change. I mean, I'm still looking forward to it. So, we will be talking about the rest of cons later once the full set gets spoiled. We'll be doing a set review in a future podcast, either next week, and we'll, probably won't be next week. It'll probably be the week after that. But anyway. So that's in the tubes. That's what's up for the next, you know, for the future. Anyway, like I said, we're going to go ahead and move on from the Fetchlands, and we're going to talk about something somewhat related to the Fetchlands. Not exactly, but somewhat. And that is, we're going to do a single card discussion on Lotus Cobra, because Brian and I love Lotus Cobra.
I love Lotus Cobra, too.
Yeah. Matt also loves Lotus Cobra.
Okay.
Yep.
So we're all fan of it. We can all go ahead. This is something that we can at least agree on tonight. We all like Lotus Cobra.
We can agree that no one.
It's so unappreciated. I hate it.
Because it dies to everything.
Yeah.
So is everything.
So so to, you know, start our typical single card discussion. Just to give you know, guide our discussion. What decks do we want to play with, or what decks would want to play Lotus Cobra? Kind of a tricky question because, I mean, we already aren't really seeing a ton of Lotus Cobra going around. In the past, we have had, like Jun, for example, for a very short while, was playing it as like a two of, or even like, one to three copies of Lotus Cobra. And then it was like ramping into like Thundermaw, Hellkite, and stuff like that. That was a very meta thing at the time, because Thundermaw, Hellkite was really good against Mirror because you're playing Lingering Souls. But the format obviously it's changed a lot since then. So where do we see Lotus Cobra nowadays?
In Trade Binders.
Oh, right, Green Man Rage decks.
Do we? I mean. There is, you don't see it in, like, the black-green X mid-range at all, in any form, sadly. At least not anymore, like I said, it did at some point. One deck that we did see it come up in, and we are going to get to this after kind of discussing Lotus Cobra, is we did actually see it show up in a Bant aggro deck in a PTQ Top 8. So, fairly notable result. It did take 5th place. It's not, like, a huge deal or anything, but... as a card that we so love, and that, not only that, but it does benefit some with the fetch lands, the ally fetch lands being added to the format, we could see some benefit from, or we could see Lotus Cobra improve some. So, that said, there's not really, we can't really discuss about what decks don't want to play Lotus Cobra because we don't really know, honestly. Cause it's a very oddball card, I think. But, moving on, and this is going to be the majority of our discussion, what are the card strengths and weaknesses? So, obviously, the strength is, you get free mana. A lot of the times you're playing with this card and you're playing with it correctly, and that is you're playing it with, like, fetch lands or something to increase the amount of land drops you play, which allows you to power out some pretty awesome turn three plays, like Plow Under, namely, I think is a good one.
So, I think the important thing to look at with Lotus Cobra here is that a typical mana dork will put you one above your curve at all points in time.
Right.
And Lotus Cobra is that with the potential of being zero or two mana above your curve.
Or even three. Because you had to remember, for example, if you play and crack a fetch and then have that land, you... Well, I guess you're actually right, because it's only two.
But yeah. I think the biggest thing about Lotus Cobra is the any mana part, any color mana part, especially in three colors.
Well, it's fixing, obviously. Right.
Yeah.
But I think, like, for the most part, I mean, I don't just forgo the fact that fixing is a thing, but I think the most part is, like, it is a ramp tool. It does fix, which is nice.
Yeah. Right. I mean... But, a lot of time, I mean, if you can cast your Bant Charm off of one fetch land, that's pretty sweet.
We are so into Bant Charm. Why does this deck not run any cryptic commands? You have Lotus Cobra, the sky's the limit, man.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a moment, but, so, I mean, obviously that's the benefit. It's a mana dork, and not only that, but I actually think the two power does make it a little bit better than most mana dorks as well. Not only that, but...
aggressive decks, it holds a sword.
Right, exactly. Which we're going to get here into that shortly. But let's talk about the, unfortunately, this is why it isn't seeing a lot of play, and that is its weaknesses. I think its biggest weakness is probably just Electrolyze.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, but.
Like every other kill spell kills it, yeah, but Electrolyze.
Is really just the
yeah, kills it and then gets value. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
One toughness is so bad.
Yeah.
That's why you put a Sword of Fire and Ice on it.
But to be fair, like, I mean, we have to talk about our other dorks, like Noble Hierarch and Birds of Paradise. They also die to Electrolyze.
Right.
And Electrolyze wrecks them as well.
And also, like Dark Confidant, for example. But the thing to keep in mind is, like, so the difference between Lotus Cobra and Dark Confidant is if a Dark Confidant sticks, it's going to run away with the game. If the Lotus Cobra sticks...
It will only run away with the game if you
keep drawing lands
to cast
Right. Like a plow under on turn three. And spells. Right. So I guess it's just a little less consistent, you know, and that's the biggest problem here is like, is just a lack of consistency. So it's like.
Plow under modern?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
8th edition.
You didn't know this?
8th or 9th, yeah.
Why are we plowing people under?
But, and actually someone else pointed this out, but Primal Command is almost like strictly better.
Yeah, Primal Command is actually same play.
Yeah. That kind of comes from a different deck, but yeah, it's either way, those are both really awesome. Like, so turn one, you play a, turn one, play a Mana Dork, like a Noble Hierarch. Turn two, play a Lotus Cobra off the Mana Dork in your first land, then, crack a fetch for a total of 3 mana, and then cast a 3 drop, and then on turn 3, just like go ham with all the mana that you have. So yeah, just like plow them under, Primal Command. I actually attacked someone, and this is totally like, totally corner case, totally very rarely happened, but I did actually put a Eldrazi Conscription on a Lotus Cobra on turn 3 and attacked with it, and that felt great.
How did you do that?
So it was the same exact play I had mentioned. So, I'm sorry. Here, let me explain it to you. So turn one, cast a Mana Dork. It was either Noble Hierarch or Birds of Paradise. Turn two, play a Lotus Cobra off of the land and the Mana Dork, and then you play a fetch land and then crack the fetch for 2 mana, and then cast another Lotus Cobra. So I had 2 Lotus Cobras.
Ah, the old double Lotus Cobra.
Right, but that was on turn 2. Right. Watch out for that. You'll definitely want to try to get those with Electrolyze, or else you're going to get Eldrazi Conscription. Anyway, isn't it? And then, of course, so on turn 3, play to fetch. So that's 4 mana total from both Lotus Cobras for just playing the fetch, and then 3 plus the Mana Dork, which is another 4 for 8 total mana.
I don't know how I feel about the 7 card hand of like land, fetch, fetch, Cobra, 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 Mana Dork, Eldrazi Conscription. That does not seem like a super strong hand to me. This is like one removal spell, and I'm sitting with an Eldrazi.
No, that's the God hand from that deck, actually. So
yeah, okay. Just hope your opponent just sits there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and just, yeah, he.
Can you let me goldfish
with all due Please. Respect, that's actually what my opponent just did. I don't even remember what he was playing, but obviously he didn't. He did not understand what was about to happen with 2 Lotus Cobras in play.
He's playing Treasure Hunt, obviously.
Treasure Hunt. No, I cast my Treasure Hunt next turn. Getting annihilated, you know.
Yeah. So, but that's the thing. It's like you could do nuts things like that. Like that's just something that could happen. Obviously, that's like, again, that's really super off the wall. But
yeah. But what happens if your opponent Dark Rituals into a Vampire Nighthawk and you just lose?
I guess you're kind of right. Well, on turn 3, they only have, because Eldrazi Conscription has Annihilator too.
But, right. They don't even have to sacrifice the Nighthawk. You lose.
So, but
2 for 2.
Or they can just have a Path to Exile.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously, like I said, it's the weakness obviously here is just, it's really inconsistent, but
you know what you need to do is cast a Geist of Seed Trapped and a Lotus Cobra somehow. You can't get to 5 mana. Damn.
And then put that.
And then put the Eldrazi Conscription on the Geist of Seed Trapped.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're talking.
That's gross.
Geist swinging for 10 and an Angel for 4.
Anyway, moving on. More realistically here, we're going to talk about. With the last couple of minutes of our podcast, we're going to talk about the deck that we actually saw with Lotus Cobra, and that is this Bant Aggro deck. Again, this took top 8, and it took 5th place at a PTQ in Memphis, Tennessee, I believe it was. So it was, you know, playing Lotus Cobra, playing Geist of St. Traff, some pretty cool stuff here. I'm going to go ahead and read it off. for the listeners here. And of course, we'll have the list and the link to the list in the show notes. So again, I'm just going to go ahead and read it off real quick. We have amongst your mana fixing, and I do want to point out the fetch lands that he's using here, because this could change. Four Misty Rainforest. He's playing four Forests, which is a lot of basics, but anyway. And four Verdant Catacombs. He's playing three Razor Verge Thicket, which is the green-white fast land from Scars. One Temple Garden. One Stomping Ground. So technically, he's not actually banned. It's banned Splashing
ancient,
Red, right?
It's just for an Ancient
Garden. Yeah, he's splashing Ancient Garden on the sideboard. And then one Plains, one Island. One Moorland Haunt and one Treetop Village. One Breeding Pool, one Hall. This mana base is all kinds of wonky, let me tell you, kids, because I haven't seen a mana base like this since since Ravnica was in Standard.
Yeah.
Anyway, 25 creatures, 4 Lotus Cobra, 4 Noble Hierarch, 4 Birds of Paradise, 3 Geist of St. Traft, 3 Knight of the Reliquary, 2 Kitchen Finks, 2 Restoration Angel, 1 Snapcaster Mage, 1 Venser Shaper's Amont. When's the last time you saw that modern? Riddle me that.
That card is insane.
I don't know. We should have just done our single card discussion on that instead.
Actually.
Anyway, 1 Vendilion Click.
How many cards do you know where their creature version is better than their Planeswalker?
And then you can Resto Angel Venser and bounce their spell again.
Yeah. Anyway, continuing with the list.
Oh, so gross.
Other spells, we have 12 other spells, 3 Mana Leak, 3 Path to Exile, 1 Dismember, 1 Bant Charm. That's a card that I'm sure most of our listeners don't even know what it does.
I don't even know what
one,
it does.
1 Elspeth Knight Errant, 1 Sword of Fire and Ice, 1 Sword of War and Peace, and 1 Sword of Feast and Famine. This kid is all about some swords, let me tell you.
Yeah. So if the last 4 cards are some of your favorite cards to play, then this is the deck for you.
Yeah. And it actually, that kind of goes back to what Josh was saying on the last week's podcast about building a deck. And that is, if you enjoy a card, build a deck around it, man. And this, obviously, this is what that guy did, because this deck just makes me gush.
This guy had to play it in Innistrad. Like, yeah. the old link your guys to St. Draft so it doesn't die when it attacks, and you still get to...
Yeah.
Angel damage in.
Yeah, right.
Oh god, that's so gross.
That was a fun time. Restoration Angel.
Blinker Snapcaster Mage.
Yeah. And it only gets worse because he's added.
You know what has never happened? Blinking a Snapcaster Mage successfully.
I'm sorry. Let me just read the sideboard off real quick, and then we'll talk about the deck and how we feel about it. We don't want to talk about the deck. We just want to talk about how we feel. The sideboard is 1 Dismember. 2 Kasali Prime Mage for those pesky artifacts and enchantments. Another sword. 1 Sword of Light and Shadow.
Because not enough swords.
Because you had to have pro white and
why
black
you
just in case.
Body and mind in here.
Yeah.
Is that
bad? Brian, shut up.
This guy loves swords. Yeah. Doesn't even play body and mind.
You are 4 out of 5. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
We also need Sword of Vengeance.
I like to steal that.
And also Sword of Kaldra. Yeah.
All right, two Obstinate Baloth, 2 Spellskite, 1 Thrun, the last bro, 1 Bajuka Bog, 1 Creeping Corrosion, 1 Threads of Disloyalty, 1 Ancient Grudge, mind you, that's the only red card in the sideboard, 1 Revelation, and 1 Scavengers.
Well, I mean, you've got to have the whole nice, clean look of having an Ancient Grudge and a Ray of Revelation. Just works out.
Yeah. This guy, like, super meta.
This guy, obviously, with the sideboard, he's more on board with a bunch of one-ofs that do kind of similar things sort of playing, which you see fairly often. I know for a while that's how I like my sideboards, and I still kind of do to some extent. But anyway, so the deck, obviously, you know, unlike some of the other decks we've seen with Lotus Cobra, this deck is taking a little bit more advantage, in my opinion, of just making more than one play in a turn instead of just getting it like turn 3 and like, oh, pfft. Plow under, deal with it. Instead, this guy is more like, so, you know, get your Lotus Cobra out in turn 2, and then you can cast like another, you can cast like Geist of St. Traft, and you can leave up like Mana Leak mana, which is pretty good, you know. Now, of course, that runs you out of cards a lot quicker, I think, but, you know, there's, And again, of course, Loader's Cobra is kind of inconsistent and kind of, you know, comes down to, you know, what the amount of extra mana available is going to be. There's a lot of inconsistency to that, so you may not necessarily use all of your mana on, like, turn three that you have available with Loader's Cobra, but, you know, just one of those things that,
Who wants to point out the fact that Loader's Cobra is a mana dork you don't have to tap to put sword on?
And that's another thing. So the awesome thing about this list is, you know, you have the turn one bait play. So you play, like, the turn one, like, Birds of Paradise, Noble Hierarch, and yeah, they may, like, go to, like, kill it with a kill spell, and then you got your Loader's Cobra on turn two still, and then they don't have another removal spell for it, and then you're good to go on turn three. So that's another thing that I think is kind of cool with Loader's Cobra. If you can back it up with a bunch of other mana dorks, then it's less of a lightning rod. So
the thing I liked about this deck is it's a green deck that didn't play Tarmogoyf, which is probably just an availability issue with this player.
Could have been, but I mean, you're looking at a top 8 at a PTQ. I think it was more so a design thing. But yeah, that is another, you know, thing to point out as well, especially for those who'd be interested in this deck. This isn't exactly what you'd call budget per se, but it isn't running Tarmogoyf, so it's a little bit more, you know, a little bit easier on the bank.
Gonna get the $80 Vendilion click, it's okay.
Oh yeah. I forgot about Vanillion Click, of course.
And is that $80 though?
For, no, for it's like $65 Noble Hierarch.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot about those too.
But just play the Loader's Cobra. They're not necessary.
Forget that. I'm sorry, this is not budget. I didn't actually. Not that I was implying that it was actually budget. I was. But still, it's not playing for Tarmogoyf, I guess.
Yeah.
another downside, or another like weakness to point out, I think, with this deck is you're playing 12 mana dorks, and you can only play so many mana dorks if you're like, oh well, crap, I'm just stuck with these stupid mana dorks that don't do anything.
Right,
and that's obviously why, you know, he's playing three swords. But still, there is a little bit. It is still kind of a weakness.
But we already talked about how that was a deck error, and he's playing all five, right?
Yeah.
Well, you just put a sword on a Bird of Paradise and have your four Noble Hierarchs out.
That's another thing to point out is, like, you get exalted from Birds of Paradise. And not only that, like I was saying earlier, Loader's Cobra has two power. So it actually, like, hits people for some amount of damage.
And you can make spirits with your Moorland Haunt to put a sword on.
Yeah, after they kill it anyway. Yeah. Oh, God. Like I said, I think this deck, honestly, from a consistency standpoint, oh god, this looks like a nightmare. But it's got so many, like,
it's synergies. It's attacking, like, from so many different angles.
Yeah, it's just...
What happens when you don't draw a sword?
I guess you draw a Restoration Angel and just, like, or go the Venser route and just, like, start bouncing.
Beat him to death with the 2/2. Yeah, Venser.
I mean, like I said, I don't know. It is playing Knight of the Reliquary, which, of course, is my favorite card. But obviously, Knight of the Reliquary, of course. Knight of the Reliquary, I think, though, you know, obviously gives it some a little bit more longevity, and it makes it a little bit more resilient to, like, the things like Electrolyze and the Blowouts. Because obviously, you know, unlike the rest of the creatures that this guy is playing in this deck, Knight of the Reliquary doesn't just automatically die to a Lightning Bolt.
Else doesn't die to Lightning Bolt? Tarmogoyf.
Yeah. Good point.
Good point that.
But you know, I think
holds the sword really well. Tarmogoyf.
This deck really needs Mother of Ruins, I think.
Oh god.
But in lieu of that, we could just put Tarmogoyf in it and make Matt sad.
Yeah, that would make you sad.
But so outside the creatures, and again, I think we definitely want to point out some of the spells that this guy is playing besides the swords, namely your Bant Charm, the one of Bant Charm. Again, not a lot of people actually know what that does.
Silver Bullet's bad.
You know, you say that, but I, like I said, I've wrecked hella kids with that Singleton Maelstrom Pulse.
One of Maelstrom Pulse.
I bet this Banshee killed a lot of Cranial Platings and Birthing Pods.
And you can even counter that Cryptic Command.
Yeah.
Who would have known? So let me just read off Bant Charm real quick, just for those, because this is, like I said, this is not something that most listeners will be familiar with. So Bant Charm, it is 1 green, 1 white, and 1 blue for a total of 3. It's a modal spell. Choose one, and it's an instant. Destroy target artifact, or put target creature on the bottom of its owner's library, or counter target instant spell. So, very kind of narrow, but
yeah, pretty versatile. Yeah, I can see this being a Azorius Charm or a Celestian Charm.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Because most of the time, you're just going to bottom the creature that you're trying to get rid of.
Right. But, you know, like I said, it does, in that corner case, you know, you can stop a creature.
Putting a creature on the bottom, it does a pretty good job of getting rid of that creature, though. We'll say that.
Like Wormcoil Engine? Oh.
Being a Tron player sad.
Yeah. Now, of course, you're one of. He is playing.
I'd be more upset. I'd be less upset than my Wormcoil's on the bottom, and more upset finding out that you Silver Bulleted me with the perfect answer.
Brian, did Silver Bullets kill your family, Brian?
Yeah, two silver bullets killed my family. Yeah. Right. Werewolves, man. They're scary.
But, with all due respect, it is playing 3 Path to Exile as well. So it's not like if you played a Wormcoil Engine, more realistically, it's just going to get Path. But, you know. But it does also get rid of with Bant Charm. But I think that's, you know, again, I think that's a cool spell. You know, pretty versatile. Also, like I said, kind of narrow, but hey, versatility I think is useful in a lot of situations. I like the Silver Bullet.
Did you say it was a versatile spell, but also kind of narrow?
It's versatile in a narrow. How else do I describe it? It's like it can do 3 totally different things, but those things are not always like.
Pick one. That's how you describe it. You can describe it by either of those 2 things. Just don't contradict it.
I think if I put this deck together, I'm going to replace the Bant Charm with Anissa, just because I want some lands carrying swords.
Seems good.
It's going to happen.
Right, I'm on board.
You can ramp into Anissa pretty well.
You can
turn 3 Anissa, make a 4/4.
It's not even that unrealistic to have a turn 3 Anissa. Turn 2 Lover's Code is really good.
Yeah.
The worst part
is really bad.
Well, it's
unless there's a sword in play,
because you have swords, yeah.
Or he's got an Elspeth, he can just Mighty Leap it, kill you with it.
Yeah.
Which is a real thing.
Just 12 mana dorks.
So
the worst part about turn 2 Lotus Cobra is that you don't use all the mana from your mana dork.
Right.
That turn.
Most likely. Not always.
Yeah, there's some dreams. We've been rambling about Lotus Cobra for a long time. I don't mind, but
yeah,
I think this Moorland Haunt should be a Gavmi Township.
Yeah, I think I would agree. Not really a whole lot of
because you kind of get in the birthing pod where you can just go on the aggro route and just Gavmi your team every turn.
And it's like turning Lotus Cobra into a 3/2 is actually just like that's good. Like,
yeah,
it's now surprisingly relevant. With one greater power and toughness. So, but anyway, that's the deck for you. Thank you to the pilot of the deck. And I'm sorry, I don't have the name.
I think it's Dami Kim.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's something I don't want to try to pronounce. Anyway, thank you again. You know, there's nothing, we're not trying to bash the list, but, you know, we do appreciate it. And again, really, really awesome deck. Just something that we really wanted to point out. As something, because I would love to see more of this deck in the future, whether me playing against her or even playing with it. Anyway, so that pretty much wraps up our podcast for tonight. I'm sorry, guys, but we don't have a listener question this week. So, sorry about that. Again, thanks so much for listening. Again, up in the future episodes of the podcast, we will be doing a set review for Khanza Tarkir, so you know, check back next week or the week after that, if you want to, you know, hear what we think on what will happen with Khanza Tarkir and how it will affect the modern format outside the fetch lands, of course. Come back and listen to that. All right, this has been episode 11. Thanks for joining us again. My name is Marshall, and tonight Brian and Matt joined me. Say goodnight, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Goodnight, guys. Night, goodnight.